Welcome to episode 2 of season 19 of the Growing Empire Show. Today I'm here with my special guest, Alex Tam, and my co-host, good friend and colleague, Robert Musso. Today we're going to talk to Alex about how he uses AI and virtual assistants to buy back his time as a busy chiropractor, turned real estate entrepreneur, and successful business owner. It's been incredibly important to Alex to balance his life and the things that are most important to him. And he's able to do that through some of the resources that he's built for future businesses like virtual assistants. So we're going to get right into it today, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to Growing Empires, hosted by real estate entrepreneur and trusted investment advisor, Jennifer DeJesus. Growing Empires provides insight to building wealth through passive income-producing real estate investments for those who want to build and manage a more profitable real estate portfolio.
Welcome, Alex, to the Growing Empire Show. We are really happy and excited to kick off this episode with you. We're going to talk today about balancing careers, building businesses, leveraging virtual assistants and AI. And today we're going to do things a little bit different than we've done in previous episodes. Joining me as my co-host, my good friend and colleague, Robert Musso. Welcome, Robert.
Great to be here again. Looking forward to another wonderful show.
Awesome. So, Robert, why don't you start out with a brief introduction about yourself and how you know our guest, Alex Tam?
Absolutely. So, just real briefly with myself, I'm a full-time real estate investor. I've been investing in real estate for a little bit over 20 years. I started off my career in the hotel and hospitality sector. I was investing in real estate while I was a full-time employee. However, at one point in my career, I decided to become a full entrepreneur and jump into the world of real estate full time. So I've been doing that now for a little bit over 11 years. I invest in single family, multifamily, industrial flex space. I've done full scale development and property management as well. And my mantra, as many people know, is using real estate as the bridge to living your best life. And that could be comprised of so many different things. But for me, I have true passions for cooking, for travel, for investments, for family. And real estate really is that bridge to get me to where I want to be. I'm also in a wonderful real estate community called MIH, Make It Happen. Obviously, Jennifer, you're a part of that now. And that's where I met Dr. Alex Tam in this particular real estate family. You guys are going to be so impressed by what he is doing in his personal and professional life. I'm so excited to have him as a guest. It's great to have you here, Alex. And thanks again, Jen, for allowing me to be part of this wonderful year of, season 20 now of your podcast? So I'm really excited about that.
Awesome. So without further ado, I'd like to just give you some highlights on our special guest, Alex Tam. Alex is a chiropractor. He is also a very successful real estate entrepreneur. He owns and operates his own virtual assistant business. And I'm sure there's 20 other things that I have not mentioned. Oh, and I might say he is a master at AI. He just ran a very incredible educational event for our mentorship group. And it was just, it literally was the most outstanding thing I think I've witnessed in several years. And I do an awful lot of education. So very big shoes to fill here on this podcast today with our special guest. But Alex, welcome to the show. Why don't you give a brief background about yourself and your journey into real estate?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jen and Robert, thank you so much for having me today. It's definitely an honor to be able to share this with you guys and your guests. To start off, I became a chiropractor because my mom suffered from a suicidal disease called trigeminal neuralgia. And when we went to the doctors, they couldn't help her. And that went on for 2 years. A natural doctor, a chiropractor, was actually able to help her for the first time in 2 years. And when I saw that she was 50% better in about 3 months, I said, this is what I'm going to do. I went to chiropractic school, graduated in 2009, opened our practice. And right around 2018, I went to a business conference with Grant Cardone. And those of us who invest in multifamily know who he is.
Sure you do.
Yeah. And it was the 10X conference. I went there specifically for business, right? Try to grow our practice, learn what all the social media is and all of that. And stumbled upon something called syndications. I tell you, I thought he made it up. I was like, did he just make up this name called syndication? What is it? I started doing some research the first night of the event. By the second night of the event, I was like, wow, I met so many other commercial real estate professionals there. I said, is this like legit? And they're like, oh yeah, we've invested with him. I said, how's that going? They're like, oh, it's going great. So by the third day, I convinced my wife, Helen, to invest. And we just jumped in. Since then, we've done multiple limited partnership deals. And in 2021, I decided, you know what? I need to get more educated because other doctors were asking me what I was doing. And I did all I did for the first few years. I said, oh yeah, just go and look at the website. Just check it out yourself. And you know, if you like what you see, you can go for it. Because I didn't know that much the back end of things. But I said, there's so many people asking me, I need to get myself educated so I can give an educated answer. And that's how I ended up joining Jake and Gino. Soon after Jake and Gino, it was the MIH Mastermind. And ever since I joined Jake and Gino and the MIH Mastermind, literally every single deal we've done since has been with the Mastermind group. And it's been an amazing, amazing journey. Amazing journey.
Wow, that's awesome. So let's jump right into our first topic, which is balancing that full-time career with that entrepreneurship. So Alex, you're a chiropractor by profession, but you also are a very successful entrepreneur. How do you manage to balance both of those worlds?
Well, I started off as a chiropractor, and you mentioned earlier that we have a virtual assistant agency. And the only reason that virtual assistant agency came about was because my partner, Valerie, after joining Jake and Gino, said, I think there's a lot of people in real estate who need virtual assistants. Alex, I saw that you talked about something about virtual assistants. Have you used it before? And this was in 2022. And I said, Valerie, I said, I hired my first virtual assistant in 2016. I said, right now I have about 8 on our team. And she's like, what? And I said, yeah, I didn't know that people were looking for virtual assistants. That's what I do. And she says, you know, I think it'll be great if we started something together. I said, well, let's ask people to see if that's even something they want to have. We started asking around, people were interested. And I said, okay, let's do it. So that's how I started working with virtual assistants. But I give a lot of our business success to the team that we have and the team that we've built. Our virtual team right now have 12 full-time staff. Our in-office team has 2 doctors and 5 other staff on top of that. So yes, there's the real estate, the VAs, and then the office, but it's about managing people. Sometimes I feel like I'm doing less doctor work and more people development over time. And I think that's how I've been able to balance it. Without our VAs, I mean, I used to edit videos on weekends and create newsletters and flyers and all of that. And there's no way I'll be able to do that.
That's very interesting, Alex. You know, and you know, having had the pleasure to get to know you over the last couple of years, it's just amazing what you have on your plate and how you're balancing everything. And I think, you know, that's what a lot of people want in life, right? They want that balance. And we talk about this all the time. It's who, not how, right? Mm-hmm. So how are you accomplishing your goals? Well, it's who you've implemented into your systems to help you. So with that being said, is there a specific type of mindset that you come to work with every day to kind of, that you take from the chiropractic business to bring into the real estate business as well?
Huge, huge. What I've learned in business in general is all about people and relationships. In the health world, when people come in with pain going down their leg or their knee or shooting down the arm. I'm not only addressing the pain. Addressing the pain is only a small part of it. A big part of it is finding out their why. Like, why are they, why now? Right? You've been suffering from this for years. Why now? And over time, you'll get to figure out it's because they couldn't drive as far as they want to anymore. Right? They couldn't play a whole round of golf anymore. They couldn't hang out with their grandkids for the whole afternoon anymore. There's usually a pain point that drives us to switch the time that we have in our lifestyle to want to do something else. There's usually a pain point, right? So in real estate, one of the first things I usually figure out is if it's an investor, I like to find out why. Like, what is it? What is it that's driving you to go from just, you know, a W-2 earner or business owner into an investor? Because for me, it was, oh my gosh, what would happen if I was snowboarding one day and break something? What would happen? That's what drove me to build my team, is so that they can operate without me. But what then I got to the next level of, what if I just got ran over by a bus tomorrow? What would happen to my family? Right? You know, how does that work? And that's driven me to say, okay, I need to figure out a different avenue than just me and my business working. We need to have something coming in on a regular basis to support what we do. So I think in business and people, when you're dealing with people and you're working with people, it's all interlinked.
Yeah, very true. I definitely agree with that. So how do you set boundaries, you know, between your businesses, your being a doctor and, and, you know, even just your personal time, your family time? How do you set boundaries so that you can actually feel like you're giving each the attention that it deserves?
Time blocking.
Okay.
If, you know, reading the book, Buy Back Your Time, has allowed me and my executive assistant to look at my whole schedule. I block out workouts from 8 to 9 at night. I block out walks with Helen. I block out innovative meetings and personal development that I have with my team. I block out EOS L10 meetings with our virtual assistant team. I block out time where I specifically work with AI for marketing, people development, and expansion. So I block these things out so that when I'm working on this one thing, the phone is on a silent mode. I check my emails 2, at most 3 times a day within 15-minute blocks, right? Yes, my executive assistant helps me with that too, and she will tell me something if there's something urgent, but I time block everything. So it's all built in. And that allows me to have very focused time. Because that's the one thing I find with a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs. They start, I found myself doing that back in the day where I'll look at an email and before you know it, you're looking at Amazon because they sent you something that you needed to buy. Right? You're not, the one thing you went in for the email wasn't even the one thing you were doing anymore. So that focus is key, and that's something I am consistently working on.
Yeah, great, great advice. And it brings me to another question here, because there's probably so many people listening right now who are hesitant to leave a W-2 job or a very rigid military-like situation they're in to take on an entrepreneurial role. And they're maybe saying, I don't have the time, it's not the right time, or whatever the case may be. What are some pieces of advice that you would give them to assist them, you know, and maybe taking that leap of faith to go from full-time to entrepreneurial roles?
Well, I would say if they're in a W-2, they're working as a W-2, they have to figure out time slots where they can focus on that side hustle, right? something either before work, after work, right? Or on the weekends where they can actually focus on something. See, some people think that, oh, I just will do it when I have time. What does that even mean? When you have how much time?
Right.
Right? Someone who can block off an hour, 2 hours, a week, let's just say. After a year, they're 100 hours ahead of the person who did nothing, right? If you can block out half an hour a day, you can perfect something by the end of the year. You know, I suggest to my friends, I said, you, whatever you want to do, if it's real estate, if it's entrepreneurship, block out a time that you can dedicate. Phone off. Leave your phone outside, right? Because if the phone's in front of you, you're still going to want to look at it. Leave it outside and just completely focus. Turn all the notifications off on your computer and focus on that one thing. And you'll be surprised in half an hour how much you can get done if you do it every single day.
So what would you say is the most rewarding part of learning how to balance all of these roles?
Ultimately, the reason why we do it, everyone has their why, right? My why is to be able to spend quality time with my family without needing to check my phone all the time. When I'm having dinner, my phone's on airplane mode. Airplane mode. That's it, right? I get to have that focus time. If we're at a conference and we're doing dinner, my phone's on airplane mode. That allows me to do the things that I want to do, right? That's what ultimately we're working for, right? You know, I'm not on a hamster wheel, just going, going, going. You got to have that return on joy. We look at in return on investment so much in real estate. Where's our return on joy that the investments has allowed you to do? That's what I look at. And when I get to do that and spend time doing that and focus doing it, hey, that's why I focus so hard on the times that I need to focus and work hard on it.
Yeah, that's really awesome. So I think at this point, we should really jump into, you know, talking a little bit more about the virtual assistant business, because I think that for professionals and for people that are really looking to reclaim some of their own personal time back, it's incredibly important, as you had mentioned already, to, you know, bring the people around you and bring on the employees or the help that you need so that you can spend more of that time doing the things that only you should be doing. So, you know, when you launched your VA business to help others reclaim their time, you know, what actually made you say, I'm going to do more than just go hire my own VAs. I'm going to start a business to help people. What was the switch in that?
The switch in that was as I was sharing with others how I work with VAs, I found that a lot of people don't even know how to work with the VA. They'll say, oh, well, I'll send them a logo. I said, what? A logo? That's it? What else do you do? Oh, I pay them $5 to make a logo, or I'll like, you know, pay them this for an hour so they can write me a newsletter. And I said, you're using virtual assistants. You're working with virtual assistants, very transactional. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, what do they do for you? And people are usually blown away when I tell them the things that my virtual assistants do. I said, well, since 2016, I've been incorporating my virtual assistants into my life, into my business. You got to have it where it's transformational, not just transactional. And as I explained that, they're like, well, give me some examples. And I say, well, for example, the virtual assistants that over time understands our model and what our mission, vision, and core values are, ultimately, I don't have to tell them what to post. They know how to create the content. Now, I might still have to be the one who films the content once a week, but they can create it. They can promote it. They understand they're part of our ecosystem. I'm not saying, well, use blue, use black here, use bold letters. I mean, you see, right? At the beginning, you may have to micromanage a little, right? Trust and verify. And once you trust and verify enough, they can run with it, you know? And you've built out systems. Some people think, well, when I hire a virtual assistant, I'm so shocked they don't know how to do this and do that. And I asked him, I said, when you hire a staff here in the States, do they come knowing how to do all that? Well, no. I said, what do you have to do? Well, I put them on a training protocol, a 90-day probation period and a training system. I said, why is it that a VA is any different? Why do you think a VA can just guess what you want them to do? Right? And when I saw there was a huge gap, and I said, imagine, and I've said this to a few people. Initially, it was in Jake and Gino. I said, imagine if the VA can do this, 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 and this, and what would you do? They're like, oh my God, I can actually sit down and have dinner with my kids again. And when I saw enough of that pattern, I knew there was a gap. And now I said, okay, well, if we're going to do this, then let's do it. And that's how we came up with the whole model. Like I would have never thought of it if people didn't present their problems.
Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, and it's something that resonated with me, what you were just saying too, because I told the audience earlier, I started off in the hotel and hospitality industry. So we were all about, you know, cultures and ethos and core values and mission statements. And then it was, you can tell, and everyone started kind of working in this ecosystem, just like you were saying. So let me ask you this then, right? We're all in the real estate industry as well. So let's say there's someone out there who needs help in the real estate industry. What are some of the roles that a VA could play for someone to switch them with that mentality? Say, I have to get a VA tomorrow now, knowing that they could help me with these particular roles. What do you think some of those top roles would be as such?
Yeah. Some of the top roles that we hire for is like social media is so big now. And none of us started out as social media specialists. We all have to like figure it out, right? And you don't have time to sit there and edit the video, create the hashtags, and know where to post. I think to get the word out there, if someone did real estate and they want to get the word out there on what they're doing, that's important. Okay, then the next role would be like, hey, how about finding deals? If you have a system on how to find deals and call brokers and get T12s and get PMs and get all the information, a virtual assistant can work on that. They can make the phone calls. They can call the cold dial in. They could be emailing and texting brokers, right? Then now you got the back end. Okay, now you're managing these properties. What about pulling expenses, categorizing them, bookkeeping, and all of that? That's a whole nother person, right? Or if you need someone to nurture your leads, the social media person did great, but now they come into your CRM. How do you nurture these leads? Right? That's just four simple roles that all of us do. Think about it. None of us, unless if we have to work on the property, actually have to be hands-on, right? We're sitting in front of a computer, working through our phones and computer. I tell people, anything that you can do on your phone or your computer, a virtual assistant can take that over and probably do it faster, quicker, and more efficient than you. So I look at all my tasks that way. What are my must-dos? What can I delegate?
That's awesome. So do you find that the qualities you're looking for in your VAs are similar to the qualities of your employees, or do they differ at all?
No, they have very good qualities. Very good qualities. You got to know how to look for them. just like a staff member, right? I could do in the office 30 interviews. I might find one good one. Virtual assistants are the same way. Depending on what you're looking for, you need to know how to interview them, right? Put them through the screenings, you know, how to test them, how to screen them properly. No different. A lot of virtual assistants have college degrees themselves. They're specialized in their niche, right? Then you just got to figure out on a people-to-people level, okay, they may have the skills and they got the will. Can I work with them, right? Do they have the drive, right? Do they fit into our company culture? I've hired people before where they know what to do, they can do it, but they don't fit into our company culture. That doesn't work for us. Yeah, very similar to how I hire people from the States.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm almost like, is the word virtual assistant almost something that needs to be changed in the future? Because there's so many things that the virtual assistant can do, right? It's truly amazing. But with that being said, so 2025 for you, Alex, the future of your business with virtual assistants, how is that evolving and changing year from year?
Year from year, our team has to understand how AI works. There's just no doubt, right? Awesome. You got to understand. My core team has been working with AI and AI courses since 2023, the beginning of 2023. So our team is very well-versed in AI. When I learned something about AI, like the presentation that we did for our group, while I was learning that, I was doing it with our team already. The moment I learn it, boom, our leadership team, they have to know. What are we doing? Because most people believe AI is going to take over jobs. They might be right. AI will take over some jobs. But AI still needs to be worked on by people who understand AI. I have not fired anyone because of AI. We've gotten more efficient, right? And we've been able to do more. That's what we need to be thinking about, is how can we utilize AI, which is like the World Wide Web when we first found out about it, right? How do we utilize that to our advantage?
The episode will continue in just a moment.
As an investor, we know it's important to stay on top of market trends and real estate opportunities that add value to your portfolio. We also know that having a trusted source of reliable information to help you stay a step ahead of other investors is critical to your success. If you're interested in having these types of resources, as well as access to me and my team, I invite you to join the Empire Investment Club, a free service that gives you an easier way to make sense of today's and tomorrow's real estate opportunities. As a member of the Empire Investment Club, you'll get access to relevant resources and investment-focused experiences such as live interactive webinars, market trend presentations, and investor socials designed to equip you with what you need to succeed. So whether you're an active investor, passive investor, a combination of both, or just starting out, the club is where you'll get what you need to build a portfolio you love. To join, just head over to jenniferdejesus.com, sign up, and we'll see you in the club, where everyone's on a journey to becoming a better investor.
Everyone always talks about AI, you know, taking away jobs, but I've had this conversation with several people. No one ever talks about AI creating jobs, you know? So there's that end of it too. That's a whole nother episode, Jen and Alex, but
for sure.
but definitely there's that as well. It's not just about taking away jobs. It's also, you know, the productivity will increase, you know, orders and increase demand and increase customers. And you might need to hire other people for those particular jobs. So AI could also help create jobs, not just take away jobs. So.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. So we're going to obviously spend a little bit more time digging into this. And I think it's really important to go a little bit deeper into some of the basics. Because, you know, we do want to encourage people to use AI and use technology to their advantage, because just like your VA business, this is all about getting time back, right? When you're able to figure out how to streamline things, whether it's teaching your kid how to use AI to write a report that they need to put together in college, or, you know, using AI to draw up an outline for your next presentation that you're going to do at work. You know, there's so many opportunities for AI to, just like the VAs, help you buy back some of that time. So could you share with us, Alex, some ways that you're using AI with your VAs? And how does that help you in your different business ventures that you're doing? So what are they doing specifically with AI?
Okay. So first off, utilizing AI, almost like working with virtual assistants at the beginning, people think of it as very transactional. Transactional meaning some people will go on AI and say, make me a logo. Make me a red, white, and blue logo. Write me an email, create a post, very transactional, one line things, and then it spits it out. Oh, that's so cool. We need to think of it, think of AI as transformational. Think of AI as a strategic partner. One of the key things that people are missing with AI, just like how people are missing in communication nowadays, is context. Context. See, if your kid comes home and says, oh my God, Sammy punched me in the eye. What's your initial response? Who the heck is Sammy that will punch my kid in the eye? What your kid didn't tell you is your kid threw a rock and busted Sammy's head on purpose.
Yeah.
And then your kid got a punch in the eye. So the context is so huge. If we tell AI, and you guys who are listening can do this live, and you say, write me a newsletter for my real estate investors in Houston. Boom. AI will write something. But imagine if you said, I am a real estate professional looking to raise capital, $5 million in Houston at this suburb. Here's the demographics. Here's the income. Here's the zone. The people that I'm talking to are attorneys who has experience in personal injury. They all make $5 million or more, and we want to raise a minimum of $250,000. Ask me one question at a time, up to 8 questions, on the information that you need to know, and give me the pros and cons of what obstacles I might face and how I may converse with these objections. Now, this AI context is going to be completely different than write me a newsletter for my investors for this deal in Houston. Right? So, very strategically, give AI context. Now, what would be even more powerful is if you have specific investors that you know their LinkedIn profile or have a personality test, and you upload that and you have AI speak to this person and give me the objections that this person may have during our conversation, and you give me answers, now you can practice this on your own. And when you can do that, there's no objections you can't handle because you've already tested it with AI. See, that's the power and the creative ways that you can do it in the real estate side, with our VAs and writing responses. I'm like, oh my gosh, this response is beautiful. Because our VAs gave it context. See, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I love the way you're explaining this all. And I think like a lot of things in life, people are fearful of change. trying things new. I've been using AI for a little bit over a year. I'm pretty much using it daily. I, you know, you want to say every day, but there might be a day I'm not using it, but it's almost every day. And my teenage son in high school to my 86-year-old father is literally using AI in one way, shape, or form. And I love when you say transformational, right? Because it truly is transformational. You almost have to look at AI as the collaborator, and you got to speak to them as if they're your partner and your collaborator. Like you say, it's truly, truly important. And the things I've extrapolated from AI is just absolutely magnificent. But let's just say I am listening to this right now, and I'm saying I haven't taken that leap yet. What are your recommendations for the apps or the websites that people should use as the first trial run for AI? Obviously, ChatGPT comes to mind, but what's your advice on that?
ChatGPT is like your Swiss Army knife.
Swiss Army knife. I like that.
ChatGPT is a great start for someone who's never done it before, right? And the way you use it is just try it out. Talk to it, okay? Because it is a strategic thinker and partner, but you have to think about you're the leader. You lead it. It does not lead you. Don't expect for it to lead you. It's a thought partner. And if you can think of it as a thought partner, where you're the CEO, and you have your board of advisors, right? For example, if we leap into custom GPT, I have a custom GPT as my board of advisor for marketing. I have a custom GPT as my board of advisor for people development, right? A growth mindset and expansion in business. My workout coach is another custom GPT, right? My EOS trainer is another custom GPT. Helen loves to cook and we eat paleo. She has a custom GPT chef. Addie, my daughter, likes to write books and she has a custom book writing custom GPT that helps her out. So we have to think of it as if we can create a specialist, a panel of specialists, you can have a separate custom AI just for that.
How do you create those custom GPTs?
Well, you go into, for example, ChatGPT. On the top right-hand corner, you're going to see your name and logo. And you click My GPTs. And when you click that, on top of that page, there will be an add button. And you just create new. And ChatGPT will just prompt you. It is smart enough to ask you questions so that you can lead it. The important thing is, how good are we as a leader to lead the AI and give it enough context so it can be a better board member for us?
Is there a particular AI-driven process that has been a game changer for you? And specifically in regards to real estate?
In real estate itself, looking at a custom GPT and uploading the best capital raising books that I have read, and then utilizing the books only because there's a function where you can take away the web. So now this custom GPT only utilizes the books. And I ask it questions on why people would have objections or fears to real estate investing. Then you take those fears, and that's how you would communicate with people via email, face-to-face, in videos. That has allowed me to talk to people better. On top of that, you can upload books of operators. And you guys as operators, I need to know what you're thinking as well. So now I try to get into and learn more about how you guys operate. What questions should I ask? Right? What questions should a limited partner ask? You know, it's the knowledge has been just amazing.
It's crazy. I want to share something real quick, if you don't mind it, but it was interesting. I've been doing a lot of webinars and things on AI, and I'm sorry I missed yours on Saturday because of my kids' sports. However, recently I just did this pretty crazy thing where you literally take your website or any website, and they created a podcast season out of it and gave you a sample show just on your website alone. It was remarkable, and it sounded like two real people. It was a female and a male speaking about, you know, Robert's business and Rob. It was just fascinating. I mean, it's endless and limitless what you could do with AI. You just have to have the guidance, and you have to navigate through it, have fun with it, play with it. Don't get frustrated with it. That's what I've been doing. I've just been having so much fun with it, and it's been helping me out remarkably. That being said, are there any challenges that you see that people will run into if they use it incorrectly, for example?
Well, if they use it incorrectly, a lot of times where I see it being a problem is if you didn't check the work of the AI, if you just blindly trust it to write posts, to write scripts, because it's training, and it's training on its own, given the best information that you can give it. So just like a kid, just like a staff member, you give it the context that you think they need. They produce a behavior that drives a result. When we don't check that result and go back and change the behavior, now it's going to keep on pushing out the same wrong result. So we have to inspect what we expect and don't trust it blindly, right? I'm not so keen in on AI reading my kids' story time because I'm not sure what it's going to say yet. But some people do. Yeah, like, how do you know what it's saying?
Yeah.
Right? How do you know? It could be pushing its own agenda and you would have no clue.
That's awesome.
What I would tell people to watch out for.
That is so awesome. Well, Alex, I have one final question for you on this topic of AI, although I feel like I would just want to talk to you about this for hours upon hours upon hours, because I find this so intriguing and so interesting. And you're just your understanding of it and your ability to deliver actionable items for people to get started and how to use it correctly, I just think is fantastic. But where do you see this going? What do you think AI looks like in 2025, 2026 and beyond? And how do you think AI as a whole is going to shape all of our industries, not only your businesses, but the real estate industry as a whole? How do you see it shaping business and economy and real estate in the future?
The way I see it, any business who is not incorporating AI and it doesn't have people inside who's learning it and using it is going to start falling behind. And falling behind means another business who's utilizing it will get so far ahead, it's going to be hard for you to catch up. Or you're going to have to pay a lot of money for someone who understands it to come in and incorporate it. So it's time or money, right? And if you, the earlier you incorporate automations with AI, the better it's going to function in the long run because you are already in the AI ecosystem. It's going to change the way we learn. It's going to change the way our kids learn. That's why I encourage parents to allow their kids to play with it just to see. They got to be exposed to what this is. It's like the first time me exposing my mom to a smartphone. Oh my God. It was like a new language, right? So she has to be exposed on what it is. And now she's like, oh, using it, messaging her friends and all of that. How I believe it can change our human development is I think it's going to actually bring more, if we utilize it the right way, our interactive with AI, it's going to be more, it's going to be actually very human because you have to speak to it like another human being instead of not talking and just typing and messaging back. You know how, I don't know, high school kids sometimes they have these, they have messaging to each other where it really doesn't make sense sometimes. They're not really thinking. But if we utilize it the right way, it encourages more thought. See, not just doing. We can do certain things, but are you thinking? Are you using your brain to actually think about what you're going to do? And I think it's going to, in the long run, I mean, you see the Tesla robots.
Yeah. Right?
My daughter's like, oh my God, you can get a Tesla robot? And I was like, yeah, one day we could. Right? So. Yeah, you gotta be exposed to it.
All right. Well, we are going to jump into our lightning round. Alex, this is a round where we don't give you a whole lot of time to think. You just gotta quickly shoot your answers out at us. And Robin and I are gonna go back and forth and we're gonna just take a few minutes to have a little bit of fun. Is that okay?
Yeah, I had no idea this was coming up, but let's do it.
I will share that I just recently was a guest on somebody else's podcast, and they did this to me. And although I was frightened at first, I thought it was the coolest thing. And I said, you know what? I'm stealing this, but I did get permission. I'm stealing this, and I'm taking this on all my future podcasts because it was fun, and it was super interesting.
Let's do it.
So here we go for our lightning round. Alex, if you could recommend one AI tool to every entrepreneur, what would it be?
ChatGPT.
What is a must-read book for anyone interested in balancing multiple careers or ventures?
Buy Back Your Time.
What podcasts are you listening to or what are you doing to educate yourself right now?
Right now, I listen to a lot of Et Mylett.
What's the biggest challenge you face as an entrepreneur and how did you overcome it?
Time, virtual assistants.
You're good at this lightning round. What's your morning routine or habit that keeps you grounded?
I read, I listen, I work out, and matcha green tea drink or ginseng drink in the morning.
What is one of your favorite success stories from your VA business?
That one is, wow, that one, there's so many different ones. I would say is the ones who are able to find the deals. And when this one gentleman hired VAs to find a deal, every deal that they closed, our VA got a bonus from it. And how seeing the VA's life transformed, that's amazing. And my own VAs, I mean, I've seen them buy homes, cars, put their kids through private schools.
Wow.
Those are some great wins. And that's how we become transformational in their lives.
Wow, that's amazing. What's the most important lesson you learn from working with VAs?
You got to give them context, just like with working with other people. You got to train them. You can't just give them, here's a task, you know, train them.
As it applies to your life, real estate is the bridge to fill in the blanks.
Time with my family. Because one day, I may not be able to do what I do, and real estate is going to allow me to spend time with my family indefinitely without working another day in my life.
Awesome. Last question. What's one thing about AI or VAs that you wish most people understood?
How to use and work with them correctly. If they understand that, it will... If you think having a VA will double your time, having AI will quadruple your time with a VA.
Incredible.
Powerful stuff.
Alex, this has been absolutely amazing. Your journey and your insights into balancing careers, having multiple businesses, utilizing resources like virtual assistants and AI to further buy back your time has been really inspirational. So how do our listeners get in touch with you if they'd like to learn more about the things that you're doing or more about your virtual assistant business?
Find me on LinkedIn, hit me up on Facebook Messenger, and we'll respond back.
Awesome. Well, Alex, again, thank you so much. And Robert, thank you for co-hosting. This has been a fantastic episode. And I am sure that we are going to need to have you back because Robert came up with another topic that we must discuss in the future.
Absolutely. Well, Robert and Jen, thank you so much for having me. This is so much fun. The lightning rounds is definitely something I have to focus on.
It's awesome. It was awesome. And you definitely can steal it for your own future podcasts. I give you permission to steal what I stole.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode with my special guest, Alex Tam, and co-host Robert Musso. We hope you enjoyed today's show and encourage you to look at how you can incorporate virtual assistants as well as AI into your business, your life, and your future. And until next time, take care.
For more information about how Jennifer can help you plan, develop, and manage a strong real estate investment portfolio, visit growingempires.com.